Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to Dudes on Hockey, episode 106. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Welcome back to the USA, dude.
Thanks, dude. I don't know if anything happened. You know, I was obviously out of the country and didn't really pay attention. I mean, so it's not like anything crazy happened. Like, we just let Manny Malhotra walk and then sign some random Finnish goalie or anything like that.
No, that didn't happen.
Thank God that didn't happen. Whew.
At least we didn't give $1.6 million a year to Derek Bugard. I don't want to jump the gun,
yeah,
but I can't wait to talk about that.
Yeah, there's lots of crazy stuff. Of course, you know, I plan my vacation at maybe the wrong time, but you know, I can't just plan it around UFA day, dude. I mean, you know.
Sure you can. I did.
Yeah, maybe,
dude,
you did.
I gotta say that it was a little weird. And
was it I mean, I read a little bit when I was out because, you know, the internet is everywhere. And I read a lot more when I got back, but it didn't seem like a big splash of a July 1. Was that your initial reaction?
Well, I think there was a lot of drama, especially around the defensemen and where they were going. I mean, there maybe weren't the sexy names, but there was a lot of depth, especially the defense position. And we saw a lot of teams get better, you know, especially in the Eastern Conference, you know, and, you know, in the West, you know, I think Vancouver is probably the big winner, but we'll get to that. But dude, what was really strange to me is, you know, when something would happen, you know, when Tony Lidman would sign with the Ducks, I would pick up my phone and I'd go to dial your number and...
Dude,
you weren't there. And I would go... go to voicemail and I'd be like, hi, this is Mike and I'm in Spain and I can't get to the phone right now. And then it would beep and then I'd leave this long message, you know, about, you know, can you believe, you know, what's going on in Philly right now? Beep. And I get cut off, dude.
Right.
So I apologize for all those messages. And I don't know why I thought you'd just pick up the phone and answer it in Spain when you're on vacation, but
right, because it's only like $2 a minute there. So yeah,
dude, where should we start?
Yeah.
Start with the Sharks news.
I'm trying to hit the button for
dude, you're shooting blanks right now.
I'm shooting blanks. I don't have it hooked up right, but I wanted to hit the hamburgers thing. Oh wait, maybe I can just like click on it. See, that's what you get for
hamburgers.
There we go.
That's what you get
for...
Oh,
God. A homemade podcast that's been off for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Hamburgers is back, dude. 1 year, $2.5 million. He was signed, I think, the second day of the draft, I think, is when that signing went down. If I remember right, I think it happened on Saturday. That and the Scott Nickel deal that also went down. And Nickel got a slight raise. If I remember correctly,
I think that's right.
He got $760,000. So good job, Scotty. An extra $10,000. Good job.
That's nothing. That's almost $1,000 a month. I mean, I'll take a $10,000 raise. I think most people out there in listener land would take that. I don't, except of course for Nicholas Vahlin, who's listening.
Nick Vahlin got an $800,000 raise.
He got a big raise and he took a lot of flack. Obviously, we read a lot of blogs and, that my initial reaction to that signing was, is this Kent Huskins part two, which is you give a guy a raise, you get a guy at the trade deadline, like we got Huskins and Wallin, and then neither of them really play that much or have an injury, as they both did, and then the Sharks re-up them for more money than they've ever made in their careers. So can you help me make some sense out of this deal, dude? Because the first time I saw it, I go, what? I mean, what's the deal?
It's very difficult to defend. I don't know if I can even try to defend the money. Now, I can defend keeping the player because I think Wallin, we didn't see the best of Wallin. And, you know, I think he had a sprained ankle or something like that. I can't remember what the exact injury was, but if it was a sprained ankle, I mean, that's
a big deal.
That's a big deal, especially if you're on skates and that can take, you know, weeks, sometimes months to get over from if it's really bad. So I don't think we saw the player that Doug Wilson, you know, acquired, but that's a lot of money. And for a team that had a lot of cap space to start, but now it's slowly dwindling away, I'm surprised that Doug Wilson on his own kind of set the market for what this kind of player mm-hmm. would make, that other teams are following suit. You know, Mark Eaton, who has less of an impressive resume than Vallin,
right,
made the same money from the Islanders. So, dude, what do you think about this?
Given in the context of the market, I guess you're right. I guess it's defensible in that regard, but I don't see why you would want to spend that kind of money on a third pairing defenseman when, at least at the time, we hadn't hit July 1st yet, and there were a lot of defensemen out there that we had both identified that we would want to see. Paul Martin we saw, and we saw all these other, you know, Ham Hughes and all these other guys. And if you could sweeten the pot a little bit to those guys, wouldn't you rather overpay Paul Martin by a little bit? I guess it's only a one-year deal, so there's not a huge amount of risk there. And I know Martin got a bunch of years, but, you know, isn't that money that you would rather spend on somebody else?
If you thought they would come.
That's right.
Yes. Now, I think, unfortunately, I got sucked in more than you did, but yeah. I think I got delusional again in thinking right. that the Sharks having the cap space and the major competition with cap space really struck out. And as of right now, I mean, the LA Kings are looking
yeah.
like fools. At the moment, they're the New Jersey Nets of the NBA free agent chase right now, I suppose. Like, they're going to be the bridesmaid. As of yet, you know, Kovalchuk still hasn't signed, but, you know, there have been reports that he's going to go to New Jersey, which, if so, I mean, what an offseason for Lou Lamoriello.
Yes.
To come up with Kovey and Volchankov and Henrik Talander. But they've got to shed some salary. But is the intention here Vallin is going to play top 4 minutes?
It has to be.
Really?
I think so. You pay a guy that much money, you don't want him to be on the bench most of the game.
He's never had that role.
I think he had that role with Carolina. He was their top 4 shutdown guy, right? I mean, he played a lot of minutes in Carolina. Now Doug gives me a look that says you're completely full of it and is rapidly typing on his laptop trying to prove me wrong with statistics.
I think Vallin, even in his best years in Carolina, didn't play more than like 16 minutes a game.
Really?
Yeah. Well, we're going to look.
I'd take that bet if you wanted to make that bet.
Tap dance a while, Mike.
I will. But the other, let me go over the other signings. So we did Nickel, Andrew Desjardins, a guy that when we talked to Eric Lindquist of the AHL Worcester Sharks was really high on. He said he would be a guy that could fill the third line agitator role, the Dave Boland role that we saw played so successfully against the Sharks by Chicago. And then Cam McIntyre was signed as well. And so it looks like Doug is now grinning.
What year did the Hurricanes win the Cup, dude?
04-05 was a shutdown year. Is it the year before the lockout?
Okay. The Hurricanes won the Cup in 05-06.
05-06, yeah.
So in 05-06... In 06-07, he was in the top 4 minutes by 3 seconds over Dennis Seidenberg. But in the Stanley Cup year, Nick Vallin was fourth in minutes, dude. So yeah. You're correct. Son of a biscuit. So he has history as a top 4 guy.
Yeah, barely.
Had not been playing top 4 minutes recently. Mm-hmm. So will he jump into the top 4 again? Now, some people have been speculating that his signing is, I think it's the end of Kent Huskins, but other people are saying it's the end of Douglas Murray.
I don't buy that either. Wow. Douglas Murray is younger and hits a lot more, plays a different kind of game than Nick Vallin, in my opinion. He doesn't play the safe. I think Nick Vallin is almost more similar in play to Marc-Edouard Vlasic than anybody.
Right.
You know, maybe he's not as fleet of foot as Vlasic is. I think Vlasic is a better skater and might skate the puck up a little bit more himself. But, you know, not a flashy guy. Won't really, you know, destroy people. That seems to be his kind of play.
Now, Dan Boyle did win a Stanley Cup in Tampa Bay with Brad Lukovich as his partner.
That's
so
true.
Maybe Doug Wilson is thinking
this
he
might
needs
be.
Maybe Nick Vallien is the one who's going to play with Dan Boyle.
Maybe.
You know, he can make a good first pass. We've seen that,
yes,
you know, especially
yes.
in his first couple games. So I'm going to reserve judgment on the Vallien signing for right now. It's a lot of money, but I don't mind him being on the team. I think Ken Huskins can start packing.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. I think this team certainly needs to add another defenseman. That's a broken record from us.
Right.
And I really think that they're going to try. All reports were that they were in on it till the end with Dan Hamhuis, who seemed to be the only free agent who was even considering coming to the West Coast.
Mm-hmm. And he went to basically his hometown in
right.
Vancouver.
So you can't blame him.
Right.
But if you want to believe it, you know, Doug Wilson was in on it. You know, he was in with the Kings till the end, and the guy picked Vancouver. And I can't imagine that Wilson was lowballing him. You know, Vancouver's
right.
offering 4.5, and Wilson's like 3.75. You know,
I
don't believe it. Like,
no,
I think
no.
he was offering the same money.
Yeah.
If not, maybe even a little bit more. But they lost out. They lost out. Sorry, we were on Scott Nichol. Oh, no, we were on Andrew Desjardins.
We were on him and McIntyre, but I also want to talk about Malhotra. So Nichol got a slight raise. I'm happy Scott Nichol's on the team. I like Scott Nichol. I think we have a pretty good idea of what he can do. He can win a ton of faceoffs.
Yeah.
He plays an energy role. He's not a physical presence by any means just because of his size. Certainly not for lack of trying and not for lack of heart. He is exactly the kind of guy you want on a fourth line. And I have no problem with the signing. I have no problem with the amount. And I love Scott Nichol. I'm glad he's still here.
Amen.
The end. Desjardins clearly is, well, maybe not clearly, but at least in my estimation, could be the guy that they might be hoping can replace Manny Malhotra for a lot less money. Like I said, the AHL guy thought that, you know, this guy is a big pleasant surprise, and he might get a legitimate chance to fill that role, because the guys that are from Worcester, and I'm thinking specifically here of Jamie McGinn.
Right.
He's not that player. He's not the Dave Bolin pesty guy.
No.
I mean, Jamie McGinn has some skill. You want Jamie McGinn to try and maybe even give him an outside chance at a top six role if he can, you know, pick up his scoring ability. You know, I haven't taken him out of that hunt yet for Jamie McGinn. But Andrew Desjardins, by most accounts, is not going to be the guy who's going to score a bunch of goals for you. So you want him to fulfill that slot.
The thing that's interesting is, you know, when you know you have $2.5 million to spend on a player, I do find it interesting that he spent it on Vallien and not Malhotra.
Yeah, right.
I would have certainly thought, I mean, I think it's overpriced for both.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad he didn't give Malhotra that money because...
But keep in mind, here's another big part of that deal. It's $2.5 million for 3 years.
That's right.
This is $2.5 million for 1 year.
Right.
And Vallien could very well be a deadline dump. If
he got a no movement,
right?
So
oh,
he got a no movement.
That's
I think
right. Oh my god.
So no,
okay,
he's here. No,
back,
he's definitely part of. Well, he had a no movement before, so that mm-hmm. doesn't mean he wouldn't leave. I think he's part of the plan, you know. And Malhotra not making that long term commitment to him—that's too much money. And you know, besides faceoffs, I mean, we talked about this. Like, they need to try and upgrade that position and. I like Malhotra. I wish he could still be on the team. I'm not jumping off the Malhotra bandwagon here.
No, not at all.
But
and, I mean, that's going to be...
But
I
for
think,
the money,
mm-hmm.
not worth it, dude.
I think you're right. And I think maybe if we're talking about, you know, we've talked about Doug Wilson's ghost roster, maybe the third line center slot is maybe moving from a Manny Malhotra guy, good defensive guy, good at faceoffs, is very conscientious, to a guy that's a little bit more of a Dave Bolt, a guy that's a pain in the ass.
I hope so.
And Manny Malhotra, for all the things we like about Manny Malhotra, is not a pain in the ass.
No, he's
really
not. He's a hard worker, good forechecker, good face-off presence. But defensively, like, was not able to be as disruptive as I think they may have wanted, and
mm-hmm.
maybe Desjardins is going to be that guy. The thing that was a little bit discouraging is that Doug Wilson said, well, I see Logan Couture fitting in fine for where Manny Malhotra slot
like,
as a third line center. And I was kind of like,
yeah.
Unless Desjardins is going to fit into a fourth line center role and kind of, you know, split it with Nichol. You know, I'm hoping if they're going to go Couture third line, play McGinn with him, and that's
yeah.
what I really want to see next year.
You want to see like a crazy, fast, fun third line?
I'd like to. Well, I mean, I think you can add a guy, you know, like Cam McIntyre seems like You know, a version of Ryan Clough. I mean, seems like a very similar type player here. You know, but the Couture-McGinn combination has been so good on every level, and they haven't given it a real fair chance here. I mean, couldn't they be just deadly? I mean, that could be a lot of fun.
I would like to see that for 10 games at least. Yeah. See how it goes.
Let them try.
Well, dude, we're burying the lead here, because really the biggest addition the Sharks have made in the offseason is to gain a goaltender, Antero Nidamaki, who we mostly remember, maybe you most remember, as playing for the Philadelphia Flyers for several years, never really able to win the number one job outright. And it was sort of him and Robert Esch for a while. And then last year he played for Tampa Bay. And apparently, at least according to reports, I think from David Pollock, 9:01 a.m., Doug Wilson places a call to Antero Nirinomaki's agent and says, "We want you in San Jose." So he's the number one choice. Can you help me explain that?
Well, they were really clear, and there was that nugget of information from Doug Wilson. And I guess, you know, one thing that we can take Doug Wilson at his word. I mean, has he ever been deceptive, like in a, like said something that wasn't true?
No, not really. He just hasn't said anything.
You're right. So he just doesn't say anything. And what he said when they, you know, decided to part ways with Nabby was that they were going in a change of philosophy with their goaltending. Mm-hmm. And they wanted more of a butterfly style shot blocker. And of the goaltenders available on the free agent market, you know, I think that they did try and get Halak, who was probably the best. Mm-hmm. But then the second best after him was Nidamaki, I guess. Looking at the list, you know, I still didn't believe him. I really thought they were going to go for Turco. Mm-hmm. But Turco's the same kind of hybrid style, athletic style as Nabokov. So he's a man of his word. They want to go in the direction that was successful for everybody else this year.
So Ninamaki's been absolutely outstanding, awesome when he's there, and then in other times he's been really disappointing. Unfortunately, that doesn't sound like a huge change to me in terms of goaltending.
Well, this is kind of my take on Nidamaki. Is, you know, the guy, he didn't play on a good team last year. You know, I mean, what's the last good team he played on? You know, it's been a while.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, it seems like when he plays on good teams, and granted, this is 4 years ago, but this is the guy who was the MVP of the 2006 Winter Olympics.
Yeah, right.
And basically took a Finnish team on his back all the way to the gold medal game. Mm-hmm. I mean, they ended up losing.
Right.
But, you know,
that was 4 years ago.
But that's 4 years ago. But I mean, when's the last time Martin Brodeur won a cup? We still think he's great.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's not like this guy's forgotten how to play. He just hasn't been on a great team. So you put a guy like this who has that big game resume on a good team. I mean, maybe they're thinking he'll catch lightning in a bottle again.
That's right. And if not, then it's a contract where you can give Thomas Greiss a shot or somebody else a shot. It's not.
Absolutely.
He didn't get number one franchise goalie money.
Doesn't deserve it.
No, he doesn't.
Not right now.
Not at all.
So I don't have a problem with this. I applaud them for going for change and making a bold roster decision and leaving it open to goalie competition in camp, which I think is what we both are looking forward to.
I want to see that. But by the same token, I think about that and I go, okay, are we just rationalizing here? Because if you look at the state of the San Jose Sharks now and the state of the San Jose Sharks 3 weeks ago, when we technically still had Nabokov, we had Malhotra. Well, Blake retiring, I guess we can't do anything about that. But, I mean, didn't the Sharks just get worse in the last month?
They did.
Yeah.
But it's not over. There's still time, and I don't think... I mean, they've still got some cap room. You know, right now, I think they've got over $6 million in cap room. Now, I kind of have a projected roster here that we can get into in a second, or I can go into it right now, whatever you would like, Michael. But
no, I do want to talk about this point. But
in terms of them right now, they're not as good, but they're missing the number two defenseman that, if you believe that he was in on him, he's searching for that player.
Right.
You know, and now, you know, Doug Wilson loves an opportunity, right? And there's a few opportunities around the league right now where a few GMs are kind of bent over the barrel. There's Vancouver, there's an opportunity. There in New Jersey, there's an opportunity. In Toronto, there's potential opportunity if they want to try and sign someone like Frolov.
Rangers?
Or maybe, yeah, or the Rangers. There's opportunity there. So maybe he's cherry picking a little bit right now,
mm-hmm.
seeing if he can get something for nothing.
Yeah, it concerns me a little bit, but then I look around the league and see what happens. And you look at some of these teams that are great. You know who had a big drop-off? Is Chicago Blackhawks. Chicago Blackhawks aren't even as close.
Sledgehammer.
As close to being good now as they were when they won the Cup. I mean, they lost Versteeg. They lost Byfuglien. You know, they're in trouble. I mean, that's the middle of the lineup. I mean, that's not a third-line center. That's a second-line guy and maybe a guy who should have been on the second line in Versteeg, who's one of their best penalty killers. So, you know, this is a... I mean, Chicago definitely got worse, right?
Yeah. Now instead of Dustin Byfuglien, you have Victor Stahlberg.
Yeah.
And instead of John Madden, you have Marty Riesner. Or you have...
Right.
Instead of Versteeg, you have Riesner. Instead of Brent Sopel, you have John Scott.
Right.
You know, and they've only got $3.6 million. They're not done. I mean, they have to get rid of more.
They have to get rid of more.
More. Right. They have to get rid of more guys. They only have 14 guys under contract with $4.1 million left, and they still have to sign Niemi and Hjalmarsson.
Right.
So someone else has to go. And I think it's going to end up being Patrick Sharp, unless they can, you know, get somebody to take Brian Campbell.
Good luck with that.
Or they dump Huey in the minors, but that's still, dude, that's still not going to be enough.
That's not enough.
So that makes me feel good.
Well, dude, I want to take a moment and talk more about just the, we got a couple emails, which I think we're not going to be able to get to today. So I'm really sorry. If you want to resend them, we can talk about them next week. There's just so much to cover today with UFA. So I want to jump to that, and then let's jump back to the Sharks.
Okay.
And maybe we can talk about... the lineup changes, and we could talk about another rumor regarding another big Sharks player, coming back for a long time. So, but first, I'm going to pull up the TSN UFA tracker, which is pretty nice here, and sortable and everything, and look and see, you know, what we saw here on July 1, which, you know, we still don't have Nabokov anywhere. We still don't have Kovalchuk anywhere, although right now it looks like he's probably going to the Devils. So the big names aren't there, but we saw Volchenkov go. So let's pull out some signings that we like and that we don't like. So why don't you tell me, like, what's your top two or three best signings, and what's your bottom two or three worst?
I think the best signing is Zibin Yekmahalik for $4 million in Pittsburgh. That one stood out to me as the gold.
Mm-hmm.
They got him for a good price. He's a young player. He's a top four defenseman. He does all the unsexy things. I think he's really going to help that team. You put him with Chris Letang, I think that's real good. He'll make a guy like Goligoski better.
How about the Penguins, man? Are they got to be the team to
beat?
They're
the clear favorites right now. You know, I mean, they're definitely.
And Paul Martin, man.
Yeah, Paul Martin. That's a lot of money for a guy who didn't play much last year. But
I just can't believe they got both of those.
Yeah,
guys.
That's a great deal when you've got a dynasty going on an East Coast team, and you've got your superstars locked up. You know, guys want to play there.
It's like in Washington, they talk about political capital. Like, they have goodwill capital in Pittsburgh. They have this star capital where they know that they're a team that people want to play for.
Yeah.
You know, they got Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin. Those guys aren't moving. You know, they got good young defensemen and Chris Letang. I mean, this is a team that people want to play for. And so I can't fault anything the Penguins are doing, because they're literally cashing in on that. You know, they're going to go and get other big players because they're going to want to play for you. And I you know, the Sharks have never quite got to that part where it's like, the you know, the Sharks are good, they made it to the conference finals, they have good players, and I'm sure they probably have good word of mouth throughout the league, but it's not never the part where it's like the Sharks have like the best player in the league and one of the best defensemen, and players just want to be around that. It's
like
just,
like 49er syndrome, like it used to be here in the 80s.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it was.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the last time we really tasted that here in the Bay Area. And
so
yeah,
it's
also
in.
It's geography too. I mean,
that's
people
true.
Don't want to, I mean, a lot of these guys, they don't want to come to California, you know, at least not willingly at first.
Right.
So it seems like once they get here, they like it. But, you know, it's still that struggle of finding a free agent to come here. And I think that's where, I mean... Maybe I have rose-colored glasses, but I don't think it's Doug Wilson's not trying to ask the girl out. Right. I think he's asked a lot of girls out in the last couple off seasons, and he's got rejected.
Right.
You know, by everybody except for Mike Greer and, you know, Antti Niinimäki on the first day.
Yeah. And Manny Malhotra.
Yeah. I think he asked out Scott Niedermeyer a couple times where Niedermeyer finally got blocked his calls, you know?
Yeah. And he finally just had to retire to stop taking his calls.
Oh, there was rumors back when Chara was a free agent that he was all over Chara. Mm. I think he was. I just think it's not working out. Kate, what jumps out as you as excellent besides Paul Martin?
I like Curtis Foster. That's a good signing. Only $1.8 million. Curtis Foster's a good player, so I like that deal a lot.
I guess for the money, that's good, but Curtis Foster's so one-dimensional, dude. Mm-hmm. He's just a power play guy, and that's it. I mean, maybe he'll blossom. Maybe he'll be like Mark Streit in the Islanders, who kind of had that knock on him, and he turned out to be more of a complete player. But
yeah, let's look at some forwards here. Love Brad Winchester. No.
How about Ray Whitney going to the Coyotes?
Yeah, that's not what I really... $3 million sounds like an awful lot. I can't say that was one of the best signings, though.
But this is what it said to me, is that Lee Stepniak must have wanted more money than that.
Right.
So they went, instead of Stepniak, they went with Ray Whitney, which I think that's an upgrade. Honestly, Whitney's a more proven performer, a veteran guy, and probably kind of fits into their hard work ethic type of team that they're building there. I think that's a good signing for them. You know, a good character veteran who can still produce on the 50, 60 point level. So
Ellis for $1.5 million, I think, is a really good signing. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that Doug Wilson wanted to go with a butterfly goalie, I guess that means that you can't get Dan Ellis, but $1.5 million, that's, you know, especially since Niinimäki got more than that. I'm not sure I like the ordering of those two contracts. I think I probably would have put Dan Ellis as a better goaltender than Niinimäki at this point. So the fact that Tampa Bay could get him for only $1.5 million, I like that deal as well. And the Chris Mason deal. Chris Mason also made less than $2 million. So either one of those guys, I think those are pretty good signings by Atlanta and Tampa Bay, respectively. It looks like the Southeast has made some good goalie signings here. So
yeah, those are good goalie signings. And it's, again, Doug Wilson sticking to his guns.
Right.
I mean, they made a decision as a staff that they wanted to go in a different direction. And when they couldn't land Halak, they went for Niinimäki. And that was probably the only guy of quality in the free agent pool that plays that style. So,
okay, what about the worst, dude?
Oh, the worst to me is definitely Daryl Sutter's total meltdown in Calgary, bringing back Olli Jokinen.
Bringing back Olli Jokinen,
who is now, I guess, the poster child with Daryl Sutter for ineptitude in Calgary. If you had a glass on the wall of Jerome Iginla's house, you probably heard the gun cock. Like when that signing was announced.
Oh my
how
God.
Could he, I mean, how could he possibly be happy with the moves that the Tortoise has made up there?
Yeah.
And then bringing back Alex Tanguy, who had a really bad year last year, a guy who I know, you know, you were high on for maybe a bounce back, but not in Calgary.
Yeah, I thought that
he got exiled from Calgary the last time he was there.
I was such a fan of that signing when Tanguy went down there. I thought it was good money for a guy with a lot of upside, and it never turned out. And then Calgary goes and gets him again. It's like, what? I mean, these two signings, for one, the trade of Olli Jokinen was terrible, okay? It seemed like the deal for Olli Jokinen wasn't that bad. When he came to Calgary, it seemed like that was a good gamble for Calgary to bring him in. But then they traded him away for two players that basically sucked. And we thought that trade was terrible for Calgary, but we understand them wanting to get rid of Jokinen because he seemed like a major bust. That fact didn't change, and then they bring him back again. I mean, it's terrible.
So now they've got Jokinen, they trade Jokinen and they get Kotalik, who they're trying to buy out reportedly.
Right.
So now they've got $1.5 million for 4 years of Kotalik on their cap.
Sweet.
And Olli loser Jokinen.
Right. For $3 million.
Sutter, I mean, if Sutter doesn't get canned now, he should have been fired yesterday.
Right. Yeah.
Really bad moves up there. And I'm And they have Steve Staios, who statistically might have been the worst defenseman in the NHL last year,
right,
who played regular shifts. So I'm happy. I'm glad they suck, and I hope they continue to totally eat it for the coming years. And if they want to trade us Jerome Iginla for Torrey Mitchell, I'm listening.
Yeah, I'm listening too. I think that the funny little mini run on enforcers was just so funny to me.
So bizarre. Really super bizarre.
I mean,
bizarre.
We saw the Rangers get rid of Brashear and just, you know, push him out. We saw the Rocket pushed out. And now Shelley and Bugar get signed to more than $1 million each for multiple years. I mean, the enforcer role is really tough, I think, to justify in today's NHL. You got to have other skills than that. And Shelley, I can't even say he's an elite fighter. I mean, you could say that about Bugard at least. But Shelley, I mean, sure, he'll wade in there with the best, but he's not going to come out in the win column most of those times.
No, I listened to EJ Raddick talk about this signing. And actually, you know what? He said that Shelley, once he got traded to the Rangers, really came alive and was one of their best players near the end of the year. And he was seeing more ice time and kind of thrived a little bit in Tortorella's system, which is totally ironic that they let him walk, right?
Right, yeah.
So this guy's maybe kind of resurrected his career, and now you're going to let him go.
Right.
And he said, well, he played really well against the Flyers in those last two games at the end of the year. Must have caught Holmgren's attention.
Right, right.
And he decides, well, I want him on my team instead of on the Rangers.
Instead of Carcillo, apparently.
Well, I guess, but you know, it wouldn't shock me if they found a way to get him in there too. $1.1 million though for a guy who is just clearly, when we saw him, over the hill.
Yeah,
you know, just in terms of being an enforcer. And then the worst, I think the worst contract in the NHL is Derek Bugard.
Yeah, it's the worst.
$1.6 million cap hit for a guy
who plays three or four minutes on, you know, a team that was really not good last year. You know, I mean, they were going through a major transition from, you know, the Jacques Demers era. It's
hilarious. He can't skate.
Did I say Jacques Demers? I meant Jacques Lemaire. Yeah.
He can't skate. He has no worth other than being just a building on skates.
Right.
He is probably the most feared guy in the NHL just because he could break your face
right
with one punch. But I guess, you know, Glenn Sather said he was tired of a Lundqvist getting snowed and nobody there to defend him. So you couldn't assign Rodis Evenens, who got $600,000 from Calgary, to do that job.
Yeah.
Saved $1 million and
seriously,
maybe use that to sign your, like, great restricted free agent defenseman.
Yeah.
And Mark Stahl.
Yeah, I don't get that at all. It doesn't make, it makes no sense to me at all. It's just, in snow? I mean, you're going to pay $1.6 million for a guy so he doesn't get snowed?
Yeah.
So he doesn't get shavings of ice on his jersey? That's what you're going to spend $1 million on?
Pretty ridiculous. Shall we look at the teams in the Pacific and what they did, dude?
Yeah, let's do that.
How about the Anaheim Ducks? They kept Saku Koivu and they bring in puck mover Tony Lidman and spent about $5.5 million on those two players. What do you think? Lidman is the heir apparent to Niedermeyer.
I don't think so. I don't mind the Lidman deal at all. Or it might be Ludman, actually, if I remember my Rick Jenneret. The Koivu deal, I don't really like. I didn't think Koivu was anything. He didn't deliver as what they wanted him to be as a good second line player, especially with Teemu. And $2.5 million sounds like too much to me. Ludman, frankly, I don't know enough, but what I've seen, little I've seen of Ludman and heard about, that seems to be more or less in line. But the Koivu part, I don't like as much.
Oh, I like it.
You like
because,
it for us.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah. I like it because I think they just got softer, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, okay. Ludman and who's the other guy they got at the deadline last year? Vishnevsky.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of Pronger and Niedermeyer.
Thank you.
Thank you. I mean, you know, that sounds like, and now they're having trouble signing Bobby Ryan.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the other crazy rumor that I don't know if you heard it.
Yeah, I heard
Spain.
Like he wants like they offered him $5 million for 5 years and he didn't take it. It's Getzlaff's making 5.3.
This is the crazy thing that's going around is that people are saying the Flyers are trying to trade Gagne so they can get Bobby Ryan.
Wow.
Doesn't make any sense to me. But can you imagine if they pulled that off?
It'd be awesome for them.
The Dallas Stars bring in your favorite netminder, Andrew Raycroft.
Yes.
Sign him to a 2-year deal. Way to go. Adam Burrish, they plucked him off the Chicago Blackhawks roster, gave him 2 years, $1.1 million. And Chris Bartsch, they keep their enforcer in the fold, 2 years, $837,000. So Dallas just sort of looks like they tread water a little
yeah,
bit, dude.
Yeah, right. You know, Adam Burrish, I don't mind. He's not a bad player. He's a pretty good player. College teammate of Joe Pavelski, by the way. And so I'm sure Pavelski and Burrish will be enjoying some more dinners throughout the season here because they're going to be playing each other that
Fantastic.
Much more.
Fantastic.
But yeah, I mean, those deals are fine. None of them are amazing. I mean, Raycroft is a guy that you want to keep away from the net as much as possible. You certainly don't want to be in a position where he's going to be your number one.
No, Carey Letton is their number one.
Yeah, until he gets hurt.
The Kings, they have not signed anyone. They've only lost players. They lost Sean O'Donnell. And they lost Radis Ivanun. So yeah. A very bizarre offseason so far in LA. And the Phoenix Coyotes, they have signed Andrew Ebbett.
Right.
They have signed Ray Whitney. They have kept Derek Morris. They kept Taylor Pyatt and they kept Adrian O'Coin. So these are players that were either in-house there already or so, besides Whitney, kind of status quo in Phoenix too.
Well, they lost Lombardi though, right?
They lost Lombardi and they lost Mahalik. So those are significant losses.
Yeah, I mean,
actually.
Lombardi got $3.5 million. That sounds like a little too much to me. Am I wrong?
No, I think that's about right. And actually, when you look at Nashville just got younger and faster by getting rid of Arnott and adding Lombardi, I think that that's been a good move for them, actually.
Yeah. Well, it's a fair average, maybe slightly above average July 1st. Pretty good.
I'd say
average.
Slightly above average. Slightly above average for drama. And I wish you'd been here to share it with me.
Yeah, me too, dude.
I know we're running a little long, but do you think the listeners would like to hear our thoughts on the Sharks roster right now, or
let's hold off till next week because there might be some more stuff. I do want to do some more free agent stuff because we got to talk about Nabby.
But
Nabby's unsigned, so the question is, what's Nabby going to do? Is he going to go to the KHL? Because it looks like everybody's kind of got a goalie right now. I mean, no team is obviously hurting here. For a Nabokov player. And, you know, and the same question could be asked about Turco. What's going to happen with those two guys? What do you think?
I'm still not buying that the Flyers are going to go with Leighton as their number one.
Okay.
I think that they're going to find a way to get rid of Gagne or someone else and bring in one of those two guys. And they'll certainly have to take... It's going to be who's going to blink first. I mean, you might call their agents, both of them, and say... I've got a 2-year, $7 million contract here for the first one who calls me back.
Right.
You know, and see what happens.
Right.
And one of them's either going to have to go to the KHL or they're going to have to sit out at least for now.
Is Nabby going to be the next Anson Carter?
Wow.
That's the question, right? Remember that? Like Anson Carter, like there was this big thing about Anson Carter. I can't remember how many years ago that was. And everyone's like, oh, he's going to get $3 million. He's going to get this. Like everybody loved Anson Carter. He was like he was a top six player for Vancouver at the time. And he was going to test the market and get all this money. And then like nobody signed him. And then nobody signed him. And then nobody signed him. And then he just kind of went away. So I'm not saying Nabby's career is over, but he might have a tough pill to swallow. And the fact that the Sharks didn't make any deal at all doesn't mean he can say, oh, I should have, would have done this. It's not that he had the opportunity, but still, maybe his asking price should have started out a little bit lower. He should have asked for $4 million instead.
Well, I mean, you know, when you're considered one of the elite goaltenders in the league, you know, I think you have a price that, you know, he's not going to start by underbidding himself,
yeah,
but unfortunately,
true.
You know, guys went for the bottom end of the market first or the middle end of the market, and the two guys left holding their jocks are Turco and Nabby. And I mean, you know, if you're the Capitals, I mean, maybe you're considering making a low end offer to one of those guys and saying you want to come here for 1 year and wait till next year. That wouldn't be, I guess, out of the question. You know, you see teams that need goaltending like Washington and the Flyers are the two teams that kind of jump out at me as terms of maybe they're really looking to make an upgrade. Maybe that's possible, dude.
Yeah, yeah. All right, dude, I still want to have more stuff to talk about next week, and we're almost up to 40 minutes, so I think we are going to call it. And thank you, everybody, for waiting 2 weeks. I know it's maybe the wrong time of the year.
It was torture.
Take a week off, but we're still here. We're going to be here all summer long, and there's plenty of things to talk about, I'm sure.
I want to preach patience, dude.
Yeah.
I think
we always try that.
We have to preach patience here because...
And I mean, can I say that I was right? I mean, I'm just going to have a little bit of gloating
you're
here.
You're right.
Because, you know, the Sharks just don't, we've learned time and again, they don't go out and get the top free agents. It just doesn't happen. Maybe not for lack of trying. But, you know, Doug Wilson, you know, maybe the GMs all sort of, you know, virtually or figuratively all get in a room and they're all trying to see who's bigger, you know, who's the guy that can offer the most money. And Doug Wilson just, you know, he's like, homie, don't play that. You know, he has an idea of how much a player is worth. He's going to go up to that limit in hopes of trying to get the player, but he's not going to go too far. He's not going to go, maybe he said, okay, you know, Paul Martin's worth, you know, $4.5 million. And Penguins say, we'll give you five just so they can get him. And he says, no, thanks.
Right.
You know, and you know, sometimes it looks weird to us. He says Volian's worth $2.5 million, and we go, what? And maybe he says, or maybe he's in the Ham Hughes sweepstakes, and Ham Hughes got $4.5 million, and he said, well, okay, I'll try to match that, or I'll go 4.75 million, and Ham Hughes says, I really like Vancouver, and Doug Wilson's not gonna say, okay, well, I'll give you $5.5 million.
Right.
He's just not willing to go there and way overpay. And the result is the Sharks don't get these guys.
Right, right.
So, you know, I hope that means the Sharks are exploring trade opportunities, because that's how they've always gotten great players.
I think so, and, you know, we'll have to see. It might not be next week, and it might not be till the end of July or even into August, where, you know, some of these teams are bent over a little bit, and, you know, well, some players...
It didn't happen until September last year.
Some players that, you know, there might be some good players that are available for either not very much or for young assets or draft picks, and... We'll see names like Kevin Bieksa and Brent Burns,
mm-hmm.
Thomas Cabrera, even hearing Jamie Langenbrunner this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, the Devils have to part with somebody. You know, maybe, you know, Doug Wilson's going to be able to get in on the sweepstakes. And the fact that Seto isn't signed, does that mean he's bait? Or does that mean that they're just waiting for some reason to drag this out? I don't know, dude.
All that and more, future episodes of Dudes on Hockey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again next week. Same time, same place.
Later. Welcome back, dude.
Thanks, dude.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.